Bro, Marino lives a life. When I was my first year in management, he would sell for 6 months and go to Hawaii for 6 months.
I remember that.
And I'm like, I don't want to be a manager anymore, Gio.
When I first came in, Gio was always talking in the winter about how you were a snowbird. Mm-hmm. You just disappear for a couple months.
Oh, yeah.
But it hasn't been that way in the last 2 years.
No. Well, I still, like, every 3 months try to take off. You kind of have to.
What do you do, a month, 2 weeks?
Not even. Like, I can't go away anywhere for more than 5 days. Like, that's a long trip for me. You know, and that's a lot what I'm going to talk about today, too, is like, you know, if you do that 5 day trip, you start to get that anxiety of like wanting to get back to work.
Mm-hmm. I feel you. You know,
and it's the same anxiety you would get going on vacation when we work for 3 months straight hard in the gym, working out, like sales, running our businesses. You get anxiety going on vacation.
Right.
Right. So like it's that same anxiety that we use as people to either keep things going or stop us from keep going.
Mm.
And it's, you know, that's what I try to control myself. You know, I'll take 5 days off to reflect. I don't care. Somewhere tropical, beautiful.
Right.
Somewhere where it's actually, I used to be the big partier. Somewhere where it's not partying. Somewhere I could just read a book on a beach and relax. Mm,
that's what I'm into.
You know, the harder you go on vacation, the harder it is to come back.
For real.
You know? For real. I've been there. I've been there absolutely in every way possible. I lived.
That was a bar right there. Yeah. I've come back from some vacations where I come back and I need a couple days.
You need to take like, a vacation.
Yo. Oh, you fucking movie famous.
Guys are looking sharp.
Zach Dingy.
Tony Capuano.
Two Hoops, Three Legs podcast where we share business tips, interview experts,
and travel the world.
This week on Two Dudes, Three Legs.
You know whose voice that is too at the end?
Yeah.
That's Tillman's.
It's the voice.
Yeah, Tillman.
He's got a silky, magical voice.
He's got an amazing voice.
He does.
And he's from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Louisiana boy.
You know what I'm saying?
I never knew he was from there.
Yeah.
And he does. He did our voice. So anyway, today we're sitting down with mi amigo, long time, Anthony Marino. Me and him go way back in the solar industry. He was kind of the one who got me into solar, and we worked together in the beginning. He was my manager. And then now, I mean, you're going to hear us talk about it a lot today. But 5 years later, he's the GOAT of Plug PV, the company that I work with. He just got his new 2 megawatt club jacket, custom. You know what I'm saying? He won a watch last quarter for being the number one sales rep. So
let's not just gloss over that. Can you explain what the 2 megawatt club is?
That means he has installed 2,000 kilowatts of solar, which is about 2,000 homes. 200 homes.
10K homes, yeah.
Yeah. And which is really about 200 homes in solar.
In a year and a half. This guy's got awards pouring out his ass. We've had this award sitting here on our set for a year and a half. I bet you he doesn't even know it's missing.
How many awards you got on your wall?
Did you know that was there?
How many of my awards do you have? Because I leave them at meetings.
Yeah, I probably have five of yours.
Leaves them all over the place.
He's got to leave his mark. That's his mark. Yeah, that's the first quarter award.
You can take that
award home
if you want today, I guess.
No, it's a good prop, you know?
I like it.
Everyone always sees it. It's a good spot to have it. So, Marino, when did you get into door-to-door sales? Weren't you in something else before solar?
Yeah, so I've been knocking doors for about 10 years now. Mm-hmm. I was knocking doors 5 years prior to getting into solar, doing alarms. I was kind of like recruited into this industry.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the alarm guys were getting into solar. You know, we had no idea what solar was going to be like. So, you know, to me, knocking doors for solar was a lot better than alarms. It was new tech. It's like the new iPhone that first came out. We didn't have all the perks that we have now. Like, we didn't even make as much money as we did now, but it was like we made a lot more than we were making in alarms. So just one career went right into the next.
Wasn't there some type of interaction you had with Jim Siegel?
Yeah.
My father's best friend.
Really? Yeah. That's like related to Jill, kind of like it's like I would say their uncle, but Stephanie Siegel.
Yeah.
She's the one that got me into this.
Stephanie's a great friend of mine.
Yeah.
I know Stephanie very well.
Yeah. That's how Gio reached out to me.
That's crazy, bro. Yeah.
She was in a van with me selling alarms.
Mm. That's wild, bro. It's so weird how everything's connected.
Everything's connected. And then the reason Noel came to the company was from Jim Siegel.
Yeah, from Jim Siegel.
Jim called up Gio and said, hey, I need a favor. You got to hire this guy. And Gio was like, no. And then he ended up hiring him.
And Noel's your brother, right?
My older brother,
Your older brother, yeah. And all your family doing this now?
Almost.
Almost?
Soon.
They should be.
I'm bringing another one of my older brothers in the next couple months.
I'll train him.
When's your kid start knocking? He's getting out of age almost.
Probably this summer. Like 13 years old. I'm going to get him out there.
It's going to be his first time out?
Have a business.
How old were you when you started?
I was 28 when I started.
Okay.
And yeah, right when I was 30 is when I got sick. And then still just kept it going. And then, dude, time flies so fast. Like, I can't even believe I've been doing this long.
Yeah.
And every year I'm like, just keep it going. I just want to keep it going.
I want to talk about your ailment and how that affected you.
Yes. All right. So pretty much my condition, all right, is myasthenia gravis. A lot of people never really heard of that, but they've heard of MS, mm-hmm. right? So you could relate it to MS. It's in the same category of an autoimmune disease.
Right.
And it's deathly. It almost took my life. When I was 31, I was on I had thoughts in my head, like, am I going to live through this year? Right. And it's crazy. You know, all those stories we were talking about earlier about that crazy life I had, it's really just because I survived that situation, had a ton of money, and just lived my bucket list. There was nothing stopping me from going out and doing what I wanted to do. I traveled all over the world. I think I've been to Aruba 4 times in 1 year.
That's fire.
Like, I have more friends there than I probably have here. And it's just, I remember Vivint gave me a $2,000 company office card because I was running the office. And I hope they're not listening to this podcast, but I just spent that in Aruba on clubs and stuff. And they finally came to the end and they were like, yeah, we're shutting this office down. I was like, why? You know, everything's working so good. They're like, we're looking at your expense report. Like,
we can see what you're spending money on.
Like, you haven't even been to the office training people. So that just wasn't good timing. But I live every single day with this condition. It constantly reminds me that I have it. It doesn't go away.
Right.
I'm Iron Man. You know, he has a thing in his chest.
Yeah.
And he has to wear that or else he decays.
Yeah.
I have to take special medication every day or I decay, become a paraplegic. And that's how my day starts.
And you also have a rigorous workout schedule that you need to keep to, right?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
You know, like a man in space, like the second they leave Earth's gravity, they start decaying,
mm-hmm.
right? So the same thing with me. My body's constantly being attacked. My muscles are constantly being attacked. So if I don't just combat that and keep them strong, I get weaker. Mm-hmm. And it's easier for it to take me than it is when I have a stronger body.
When were you diagnosed with this?
When I was 30. And
was it growing over time? Did you, how do you get MS? How does that happen?
So, didn't know then, still don't know, but technology, and this has come a long way. So they're learning that it's coming more from viruses. Just like everybody got COVID, a lot more people are starting to develop autoimmunes. There's actually, from my understanding, two ways you can have it. One would be from inflammatory responses in your body. And that's how most people get pretty much rheumatoid arthritis, like all these weird inflammatory responses. And it's really just the way you eat. So that's one way you could do it. And that's a very easy way to cure it if you have it from leaky gut syndrome, right? And that's what's happening. Like, you're eating bad food, it's leaking through your gut, and then all of a sudden your immune system starts overreacting. Just like when you scratch your hand and that red mark comes, that's your immune system coming there.
You're all inflamed.
So if you start doing all these weird things to your body, drugs, or you know, your immune system freaks out, and that's the way it freaks out. It could turn into MS, it can turn into the stomach one, and it could turn into all these different types of weird problems, headaches, all these things. Now, the other way is the way I got it, which is lifelong. That one's very curable, but this one would be more like a virus came into your body, right? And that virus mimicked it, mutated. And when it mutated, it mimicked your blood cells, something in your body. My condition, it mimicked my muscle receptors. And just like your body develops an autoimmune response so that if you ever get a virus again, it could eliminate that virus. So that virus mimicked my muscle receptors, and the rest of my life, my own body thinks my muscle receptors are a foreign agent.
That's crazy. I actually get that. It's like helper T cells.
Yep, exactly.
Like when something attacks your body, it makes the helper T cells so that it knows whenever it sees that, it attacks it.
Exactly. So there's no cure.
That's a lifelong wild, bro. Thing. And you've tried everything, I assume.
The only thing really I can do is I get somebody else I get 1,000 different people's immune systems infused into my body once a month. It's called IVIG treatment. And that treatment, I get an in-home nurse once a month, 2 days, right? And I get that, like, it's kind of like dialysis.
Wow.
Yep. And I'm usually home doing Zoom calls when this is happening. And then so for 1 month straight, plus prednisone, which is a steroid that eliminates your immune system. So for 1 month straight, I get like this just dose of, you know, a plasma from all these people. And it helps, it tricks my body into thinking I have somebody else's immune system.
Wow. So wow. It won't, because it knows yours.
Yeah. What?
That's wild, yeah. Bro.
Bro, I never knew you got it like that.
Yeah, it's bad. Now you understand like why I can't hire and fire people and train all the time. Like I kind of do it on the side little, but like just I gotta stress is the number one factor.
Yeah.
It flared back up this year because one, started a construction company, two, bought property, taxes are due, and I took off for 2 months because I got married and didn't work, and boom, stress just out of nowhere.
Smart. And then, like, he didn't mention got married as part of his stresses. Smart guy.
No, that was actually the stress relief of all. That was very pleasant.
Yeah, but it looked like a beautiful wedding, bro.
Thank you. Thank you. And so like just all of that just came right back like a bomb.
Mm. That's crazy that just because you're stressed, it overreacts that much.
Yeah.
The body is incredible, yeah. Bro. I want to talk about how you have, instead of taking that autoimmune disease and letting it destroy you, how you mentally overcame that so that you could be where you're at today.
No, that's great. So, you know, a lot of this came from like, there was a time when I told you I was almost dying, right?
31 years old.
Yeah. And it was a crazy time. Like, so I had a full benefits from the company I was working at. There's a reason why I chose that company to be in Solar Trinity. They're giving me full benefits. And then this condition started to happen, and those benefits were based off of performance. I had to keep my performance up to be able to get those benefits. Then what happened is I started getting sick. All of my guys started leaving to other companies. I had no office anymore. They were all like, you know, this is not working out. They're going to go to other companies. So I lost my health benefits. They cut my salary down from $50,000 a year to $20,000 a year to $10,000 a year. Mm. So I lost my health insurance. In that time, I was waiting to see the head of the Myasthenia Gravis Foundation, right? It took 3 months to see this dude. All these other neurological medical offices were killing me. They didn't know how to treat it.
Yeah.
So in that time, I was dying. And when I finally met the head of the Myasthenia Gravis Foundation, I was on my last leg. I was already having thoughts in my head that this is it. When I saw that guy, he was like, you have 2 weeks to live. My brother from Hawaii moved back.
Holy shit.
He's like, there's nothing we can even do. He's like, it takes a month for this medication to kick in. And he's like, it also makes you weaker while it's kicking in because prednisone makes you weaker at first. So you're going to get weaker first than you already are. You had to spoon feed me and I couldn't even swallow the soup. Oh, I couldn't hold my head up in the chair. I was like a bobblehead. And so my brother, it was an amazing story, dude. It really is. So like in that time when you are almost dying and you know you're gonna die, you know, I have a son, the things that went through my head and most goes through my head, you don't have bills to pay anymore, like you're gonna die, you're like, I don't care about all this stuff. You really just care, if you have enough willpower, about living. So I had just an insane amount of willpower to just live. I didn't want to go, and it's weird, like, because that can happen, you know, to anybody. So, you know, that was going through my mind. And then the craziest thing happened. The prednisone medication kicked in. I started coming back slowly and slowly, just like getting my normal self back. I didn't need all my strength. I just needed enough to be able to, you know, have general motor skills. So then in that time, that is when another company came in and they're like, just because of my reputation in Solar, they're like, we want you to run our two New York offices. Gave me a $50,000 sign-on bonus. Here's Poughkeepsie office. Here's the Albany office, all yours, hire a team. In that time, because I was just still in this mindset of just wanting to live and be the best that I can, I hired the most amount. I hired 30 people in 2 months. And those 30 people were the top sales reps of new hires for the company for Vivint. And from there, I realized I wasn't going to die. And that's when I told you I lived my bucket list.
Yeah.
I didn't actually take that seriously. I should have.
Yeah, yeah.
That company is now Sunrun. It was Vivint. So I should have. And then I just lived my bucket list. And I lived in that year an amazing life anybody could possibly live. Shouldn't have, but I did.
I don't know. I think you should have.
Yeah, you should have. And then at the end of that, I realized I'm not dying.
Yeah.
I realized now I got to get my shit together. And that's when I started to, that's when I, you know, Andrew came in like a few years later. Like, that's when I really just started to grow and grow and just be everything I can. And there's no turning back from that.
Right.
There really is. And then in that time is when I learned that emotions training, how to control your emotions. I was studying a lot in those years, you know, because you can be very depressed. You could be like, oh, my life sucks. Why me?
Right.
You could point the finger at yourself and shame yourself all day long. In those years, I developed those skills, which I think everybody should technically have, even if you're not sick.
I think when you get real close to death and you're like, oh, shit, I think this is it. Something flips in your mind and you go directly into survival mode. And I think once you hit that, you don't come back.
Yeah, you don't. You're just because like a machine.
It's so many people that are survivors that have this same mentality. And I really want to get into what you just scratched the surface of, is that training that you've done a couple times for us. What do you call that?
So it's my emotions training. It comes from a book, the art. It's The Map of Your Consciousness. Okay. It was the number one book that just hit me. And like, you know, there's a lot of other books that spin off that I pulled other things out of, and I just became very knowledgeable of this topic.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, like you said, you know, rock bottom has built more champions than privilege has ever.
Bar.
Right? Most of the kids that we brought into this industry, Zach has come in from this industry from a kid that hit rock bottom that recruited him.
He lost his only 20K he ever made or something, right? What was it?
I spent all my money on a business and lost it all. But that was before that even started. I was broke. Then I made some money in solar. Then I bought a business and it failed. It was
What was that business?
Master Networks.
Master Networks.
I bought it for $50,000 and sold it back to the company for $5,000. I lost $45,000 at 19 years old.
That's could not you too imagine? Bad. Yeah, I lost $40,000 on Tesla last year.
Oh shit!
From that split.
Yeah, that'll do it too. So yeah, but I mean. To go back into the emotions training.
Yeah, and as you go like, through it, I want you to talk about the diagram. And when you bring that up, we'll have him show it on the screen.
If you guys haven't read the book, it's Power versus Force. It's like the thing that so many people, I don't think, understand is the immense amount of control we have over our own emotions that we don't take advantage of. You know,
it's the one thing in this world you truly have power
it's
over.
The only. It's the only thing in the world.
Yeah, consistently that you absolutely control.
Absolutely, 100% control.
There's a lot of things people don't realize. And I wish I was actually on a TED Talks. Maybe I will be one day talking about this. You know, every single person in this world is given a gift, right? And a lot of people's gifts that they have, they think are like there's something wrong with them. Right. You know, most one percenters and most successful people in the world, they have a lot of anxiety. They're able to use that anxiety because anxiety increases your heart rate. It increases your energy. Okay. So in reality, you get energy when you have anxiety. Some people are able to harness that anxiety and use that for the plus, like we were talking about before. You get anxiety when you go on vacation, right? If you've been working every single day, you get anxiety going on vacation. So that's hard to do. And then when you're on vacation, you're on the beach, everything's beautiful. That last day that you're there, you're like, shit, I got to go back to reality. You get anxiety going back to work. So if you harness that same anxiety to do the first thing I was talking about, just to have anxiety to stop, you are unstoppable. And that goes with building habits.
It's how you use the anxiety.
If I started smoking a cigarette right now, and I just did that consistently for 30 days, if I stopped any time in between there for like a week, I'd be good. I probably wouldn't continue on smoking. But if I just started a smoking habit right now and started smoking for 30 days, it would take me a year to beat that habit. Mm. Just like Zach started running marathons. He just started running, right? He's like, I can just go run. I can run a marathon. Why not? I remember when he was talking about this. Mm. He just started running. He probably started a running habit that started him 30 days. And now I'm sure it would be weird for him to stop running. So all these people out there, they're like, oh, I'm 40 years old. It's too late for me to get started. it doesn't matter how old you are. I mean, McDonald's, Amazon, all these big companies were started at people 40, 50 years old, huge corporations.
Yeah, KFC, that guy was like 45 years old.
No, he was 71.
71?
Yeah, 71. Bro.
Wow.
He was old as hell.
Yeah.
It ain't too late, people.
Yeah, so these people have just had a habit for the past 20 years of just going to work and coming home. That's why they can't start anything else.
Yeah.
You got to use anxiety to work for you.
Yeah.
And getting into that emotions thing is one of the best things. I'll get started right into it. So the main thing you got to know about your emotions and how to control them is, number one, you can control them. Just like anything, you have to know how. Right? So you're going to put the list of emotions up there. There's about 17 emotions.
The spectrum,
yep. So let's get into your consciousness, right? You have three levels of consciousness, okay? The spiritual realm, the linear mind, and the ego, all right? Now, most people in the world today are living in the ego. This is the worst place you could live. This would be fear, anger, apathy, guilt, and shame would be the bottom. All right, you're shaming yourself.
This guy's got it memorized.
Yes, I've done this many times. And then the linear mind would be the middle. This is where you want to be. Most of us in this room, our sales team, our sales organization, all the sales organizations around the world, these people are in the linear mind. These people have a lot of courage. They're very neutral. They have pride, acceptance, and reason. And then you have the top tier, which would be the spiritual realm. And this would be wisdom at the top. Very wise people. Then you have peace, love, joy, right? So now getting into how you can control all this, all right? So if you know all the 17 emotions, and like I was saying to Zach in an earlier training one time, write down some emotions. Those 17 that I said, write them down on a piece of paper, like a little web diagram. Which ones do I feel all the time? Are you always shaming yourself? Like, oh, fuck, I'm an idiot, right? Why the fuck did I do this? I'm an asshole. You know, I never learn. You know, why did I buy that stock? Why did I buy this business? I'm an idiot. I didn't understand. Like, you know, so stupid. Should never let that happen. It's just words that are coming out of your mouth will affect getting into the other part, the law of attraction. All right. Every single thing that comes out of your mouth, okay, will put you down a path in life. Will put you in front of the people that you meet. All right. I'm sure. How did you guys know each other before this?
We met through Noel when Noel started working for
before
my company.
Solar. We didn't even know each other.
We didn't know each other before.
And Solar. Noel knew Stephanie Siegel, which is the same person I knew.
Right.
And now we're all here.
Right.
We're kind of all kind of doing the same thing. I mean, you were probably a recluse before you got into Solar.
I was a psycho.
Oh my God. Me too. Zach was getting into business things. He was young, very young, actually. I applaud you. Very young, getting into all these business moves, which brought him to one of the biggest moves he could possibly ever do, which brought him to Q29 and running this office and all this other stuff, which is bringing bigger moves. But were any of you heroin addicts during the opioid epidemic?
Never got into heroin.
Never got into it, right? No, but if you were, you probably wouldn't be here today.
Oh, I'm sure.
You'd probably be in jail. Probably be shaming yourself, all that kind of stuff. So it's really the words that come out of your mouth that touch fate just a little bit, which puts you down a right path, which introduced you to either Stephanie Siegel, me, Jill, which brought you into this organization. All right. It was a BMI meeting. I think you met my recruit, right?
Master Networks, yep.
Yeah. And he probably wasn't the right, you know, person to talk about with this, but just him being in that BMI meeting, that guy was directly connected to me. Zach came into this organization because he was on the right path.
Right.
So how do we control that path? All right. I'll make it very simple for you. You got to get yourself out of the ego. Okay. And how you get yourself out is just by the words that come out of your mouth. So in every single situation with those emotions, you can flip them for the other consciousness. So if you're constantly always spitting out vomit out of your mouth that's in the ego, you're just going to bring those words up into the linear consciousness words. Mm-hmm. And then either that, if you can get really up there with the wisdom words. So the easiest way I can explain this to everybody is don't shame yourself. Don't have apathy. Don't fear anything. Don't be angry at anything. That all comes from inside.
Right.
If I go and stub my toe on this table on the floor, the first words out of my mouth are not going to be like, fuck, I'm an idiot.
Right.
It's going to be like, you know what? I'm going to move this table over here so that next time this happens, I don't have to stub my toe.
Acceptance and reasoning.
Exactly. Number one thing you could do right away is don't tell anybody you can't do it. Right. Don't say I can't do it. Say I will do it. I just don't know when.
Mm.
Right. It's creating wisdom. It's loving your ex for destroying your life for the greatest times that you've spent with her.
Mm.
Don't just sit here and say, this was a lot of time wasted. I hate her. She cheated on me. Say, you know what? Those 4 years that we were together, there was a lot of good things that happened. You know what? I'm going to remember those times. It wasn't always bad. And I'm not going to be scared to get into another relationship because I know it's about the memories and the love that you had, not about the bad times.
Right.
If you reflect on all that bad, you're going to go down a bad path.
Right. You're going to continue. If all you think about is what bad happened to me before, you're going to be looking for that to happen again.
Exactly.
And when you'll find whatever you're looking for, I promise you.
And history repeats itself. So if you're constantly always shaming yourself, you're constantly always going to repeat the same mistakes over and over again. But if you are wise, if you have joy and you have peace. So trust me, it sucked to almost die. It sucked that I had this condition that had nothing to do with myself. It was just fate. And you know what? God gives all of his battles to his strongest saints, the strongest knights. They were the ones that lived the toughest battles throughout the Bible. So if you look at it that way, you're like, you know what? I was given this condition because I could battle this because I can handle it.
Hmm.
I start looking at the positives. It didn't kill me. It made me stronger. Now I have to live this life of working out, eating. Right? I like eat spinach every day at 1 o'clock. That's my normal meal because if I eat anything inflammatory, it could screw me up.
I'm not going to lie. That sounds awful.
It sounds awful. But guess what?
You feel great though when you eat.
I have tons of energy. It's actually like kind of, I look at it like through that, you know, positive lens. That like,
right.
I eat spinach every day. I'm 100% healthy. So I can look at it one or two ways. I am just naturally programmed now because I've been doing this with my mind now for over like 10 years.
Yeah.
Just programming myself to say the right thing. And it's just words.
Yeah.
And it automatically tricks my brain into thinking that way.
Sometimes and you've given yourself an incredible discipline.
That comes with it.
Right.
The discipline, right? That habit. You know, there's no motivation. I don't motivate myself to eat healthy every day. I kind of like, I'm like that Iron Man. I have to.
Right.
Something that I learned or heard when I was running the marathon, I heard another guy talk about it who had ran multiple marathons. He said, never give the pain a voice. So even if you're in pain, everyone who's running the marathon is in pain. You're not fucking special. We're all in pain. Once you speak it, you give it all the power it needs to exist. So if you don't speak things, they don't exist. So for someone who's trying to make that switch from shame, guilt, apathy, these things, and you're trying to have reason, whatever it is, you just... I don't say I'm tired anymore, or I try not to say I'm tired. I try to say these things that are bad emotions or things I don't want, and I don't give it power, and that allows me to.
Yeah, because your body will like manifest anything you want.
Correct.
Who was it? I think it was Bruce Lee said, "Be careful what you say because your body doesn't know the difference between a truth and a lie, and it'll make whatever you say like come to be."
No.
He probably said it in a much sexier way than
way
I just
sexier.
Did. But...
Way sexier.
Everything that comes out of your mouth, you are putting out there into the universe.
Right.
Right. So the law of attraction, you could think of it as like a spiritual thing. You could think of it as like, oh, you know, just pot. You could think of it as a religious way. You could think of it all these different ways. But in reality, all right, if my five best friends were all drug addicts, more than likely I'm going to be a drug addict. It has nothing to do with law of attraction. It really just has to be like the energy of the people around me, the words that come out of their mouth that I take in. And all of that is going to play out in my life. So it doesn't have to be this thing about, is it real or not? Just start getting yourself vibrating on that positive frequency. And everything else is going to play out into your life perfectly.
Yeah.
You're going to start attracting people. The only people I hang out with are all, you know, almost millionaires or on their way to be millionaires.
Right.
The conversations I have with people are about, hey, which property are you buying this week? Or, you know, how did that job go? Or like, it's nothing ever about like, hey, you know, where are we partying this weekend? Like, you know, that's the main topic. Where are we getting girls? It's about very successful responses that I just intake all the time. I have no choice but to stay on that path.
And I think more important than it being about, you know, talking about success, it's the positive mindset, right? Everyone I talk to has a positive mindset. We're all talking about how good things can go or will go, not the bullshit that's going on in our lives, because I don't have time for that.
And, you know, you do this naturally. I don't even know if you knew about this stuff before.
I didn't know about this spectrum, but I've always known that in my life, I always go to gratitude for everything, which isn't something that's on there, but I always use gratitude as my hack. No matter what is going on, I don't care what it is, I'll find something to be grateful for.
Do you ever sit back and reflect?
Yeah, a lot.
It's the
now
most important thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the most important thing. That's how you reward yourself.
Yeah.
Everybody should do it. I don't care if you passed a test. You have to reward yourself that you passed that test. And you know what? By rewarding yourself, you're giving yourself, like, you're making yourself proud of what you did. You're loving what you did. You're going to create wisdom of how you could do better. Mm. And you're going to just sit there and think, almost meditation, okay? So whenever you're going through that reflection period, try to do it on vacation, meditate, okay, in the spiritual realm. And that's going to be a huge boost in your life.
Yeah, I like to do it through prayer now.
Prayer is good. Yeah. Anyway, like I said, religious could be, it could be just a proud moment of yourself, but you have to have some higher, like, you know, ability, something higher pulling you towards it. So
yeah. Well, I absolutely believe in that. And like, I believe the best way to achieve anything you want, and you can look at a lot of people talk about this, like Tony Robbins, there was that powerful movie called The Secret or something, and they talk about the power of manifestation. And one very powerful way to get everything you want in this world is to have gratitude for the things that you don't even have yet, right? So if you can imagine that whatever it is you're looking to achieve, you pretend that you've already achieved it and you express your gratitude for that. You feel like I already got it. I love it. I feel great. If you express that, it's going to take you to where you need to be mentally so that you can achieve it.
I think gratitude, the word gets thrown into a pile of like all the other BS words of like, oh, that's foo-foo. That's like, oh yeah, you got to be grateful. But it's so powerful that that's like, you can be you can achieve the most in life.
Yeah.
But if you are not grateful for it.
A great example, when I had my leg ripped off by my motorcycle, instead of going, oh, woe is me. Oh my God, I'm going to fucking die. Or I almost died. And I can't believe this happened to me. I don't deserve this. Instead, I was like, oh my God, I lived. Thank God I get to continue going on. I get another chance at this life. And then people came out for me in a beautiful way. And I'll mention it again. So many people came out to show support for me. And I was overwhelmed with how grateful I was to find out that I had this support system around me. Like, thank God that I got into that accident, because of what it uncovered to me in my life that I didn't even know about.
You were like, you know, one of the best inspirational stories to the things that I talk about.
Thank you.
And like, it really is. Cause
a high compliment, bro. I don't take that lightly.
And it's amazing that you do this naturally and other people don't have the ability to have that. Like animals, for instance, when a dog loses its leg, okay, it doesn't just sit around the rest of his life and say, oh, now I got three legs. Like, you'll see that same dog running around a yard with four legs having the same good time. Mm. It doesn't sit around every day and shame itself.
Right.
Right. So like, some people, and you know, human beings are the only people on this planet that like, are the only things on this planet that actually have this like self-doubt. If I eat a cheeseburger, like I can afterwards feel like crap. Like, why did I eat that cheeseburger? Now I'm fat. Like, a dog will just eat the cheeseburger and go on with his life.
Right. Run it off.
So like, it's amazing that you have this ability. And then now that you can kind of combine that with some general knowledge of mind control, right? Now you actually catch yourself doing this.
Oh, I found out it was my superpower.
Yeah, it probably
is. I didn't get into that accident, I wouldn't be where I'm at now. I'm so grateful every day that that happened.
It's so weird
when I tell people that, I feel like, although I guess a lot of people understand, I'm so grateful for it. Because otherwise I would have just been living this mundane, recluse life that I had. And I wouldn't know what I was capable of. But go on.
And no, for Zach, it was probably just, you know, that one business mistake that you made was like a little bit of your kryptonite. And that excelled you into like this atmosphere of thinking differently. Right. It's like so I guess sometimes some people do have to hit rock bottom.
Yeah. This guy, I don't even think that was his rock bottom. I think he was good. That was like a speed bump. I think he's just built a little different, this guy.
You know, I hit rock bottom.
I struggle with gratitude, bro. I still do. Yeah. I mean, I work on it. Don't get it twisted. I probably do it more than most people. But for myself, because I have all this anxiety, because I'm so competitive, because I want all these things out of life, it's very hard for me to like be grateful for what I've done.
Well, you know, the linear section I was talking about, that's good or bad.
Yeah.
Right? From linear, you could either go up or down. And that's why things like linear can have pride. Pride can be good or bad. Courage can be good or bad. Like, I could jump in front of you if somebody's going to shoot you with a bullet and have courage, but I'm dead.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why that's in the middle. It could be either good or bad. Pride in certain situations can be very bad. Right? If you have pride because you somebody like messed up you up in business, and you're going to like take that pride, and in that situation you should just bitch your words, and you know, you could have went up from there instead of down because you had too much pride. So remember, that linear spot is good. We should all be in there, but you have to also think, how can I move up higher? So with gratitude, all right, you want to have more gratitude, all right? So you should have more of the higher tier of linear. You should have more acceptance. You should have more reason. Okay. Willingfulness. Okay. And love. Number one, the best way to gratitude is to love everything. Now, this is a crazy story, but my father, all right, hardcore, old school Italian, all right?
Hard school. That's hard school. That's it.
Hardcore, old school Italian built the most craziest work ethic into my life.
Yeah.
Right. Probably bad businessman. The way he did business back in the day, he never was profiting. Now, me growing up would always put my 2 cents in, and he would never listen to me, right? Because I was his son. I can never be smarter than him.
Right.
So growing up, I learned in life from him not the best business moves you can make, but I learned what not to do in business. And I always hated, all the way up literally until my 25 or 30s, had a lot of resentment for my father because of like, man, somebody like your father, it was pretty cool. He's like, he was already salesy. He got into mine. They actually met the other day. It was kind of funny.
My father and your father?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where?
My father came back. They met, I think it was like a Dunkin' Donuts or a Starbucks or something. My dad wouldn't be in Starbucks. I think it was like a Dunkin' Donuts.
Did he recognize my dad?
He saw the Plug PV gear.
Okay.
And he went up to him and he was like, that guy from Plug PV screwed me up. And like your dad was like, who?
Like, my dad never told me this.
Yeah, that's your father. And he was like, that guy Anthony Marino, he totally screwed me up. And the guy was like, what? Like, your father was like, what? How can that be? Like, he's like the best. And then he's like, nah, that's my son.
That's funny as hell.
That is funny. I didn't know that.
Probably got Glenn going. Yeah.
So I resented him all this time until I started realizing, like, look, I gotta love my father. Like, it's getting old. It's, you know, we're running out of time here. Like, I have to actually start really accept. And he got better with age. But after looking
back, like a real Italian, better with age.
Yeah, right? With fine wine. After all those years of looking back, you know what I found to love my father about? One, I loved him. I have gratitude for him of everything because he taught me this hardcore work ethic.
Yep.
7 years old, picking up shingles, like on the side of the houses, throwing them in dumpsters. Look great. You know, he taught me construction, started a construction business this year. Everything he taught me, I am using today.
Yeah.
All right. We renovated the whole house myself, actually, in December and January. A lot of people don't know this stuff. And then on top of that, he taught me what not to do in business. I already learned from him all the worst mistakes you can make in business.
All right.
I learned to be profitable, all these things. Now I can look at my father and absolutely love him for everything. And now,
because you reflected properly.
Yes. Now, instead of me thinking about all the worst things, every time I think of my father, I think of love. I think of joy. I'm like happy to see him. And you know what? We have a great relationship now because of that. And that is pretty much like what you have to do, right? So for you, for gratitude, okay, you have to get yourself into that spiritual realm. You might have a lot of pride, okay? You might have too much, you know, why is it that you don't have a lot of gratitude? What do you think?
I try to sit back and analyze a lot, but I struggle to slow down and just have gratitude about things. Like, it's always like, well, I got to get to the next thing. I want better. I want bigger. I want more. I want more. I want more.
You know what? That'll happen. You're young and you're, this is the time right now. I wasted a lot of these years that you're in right now. I wish I got started when I was your age. Remember, I hit rock bottom 7 times before I was 30. Didn't get my life started till I was 30. And then boom, got hit with that autoimmune disease. So it's not always a bad thing, because right now you got momentum and you have tons and tons of anxiety to stop.
That's, you know what I realized too the other day, was that it's a lot of social media, just seeing other people and where they are. And I'm like, fuck, I'm not there yet.
I know, it's, you so know? Hard.
Yeah, that's a big issue.
If you want to play devil's advocate, the downfall of, or the possible pitfall of gratitude, is that you could become complacent. If I woke up every day and I was like, man, I'm really happy with my life, everything's all good.
Yeah, but I think that's, I don't know. I don't think it's possible to go that extreme.
What, with gratitude?
With gratitude.
Well, look at how you're...
I don't think you'll ever be that way. You have way too much anxiety to stop.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, you won't be. That's my point, though, is that you not having gratitude sometimes, maybe that's what drives you so much.
Yeah, I wake up pissed off sometimes.
Maybe if I hated everything I had, I would go work even harder.
I got the same problem. I'm 39.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to be... You know, the one thing I'll never get back is time.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
How old are you?
25.
I want to be 25 where I'm at right now.
Oh my God.
Right? Like, how fucking awesome would that be? To be honest with you, that would probably be a black hole for me. I wouldn't be Zach. If I was where I am at right now, I'd probably be back off to Aruba again 4 times.
Right.
Like, so it's amazing, like, it happened. Like, now I'm married, I got a family and all that stuff. And like, I can't be that way. So it's probably good that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Because remember, in my 20s, we went through that that pandemic with opiates, and our 20s, there was nothing for really. There was a lot of things for us to excel, but we weren't smart enough. We weren't taught these things. Like, we didn't have people before us doing it. Like, you just saw Ray Kroc of McDonald's. You're like, I'm never going to be that freaking guy. Mm. I'm never going to be that top real estate
agent. I used to have those thoughts, bro.
Yeah.
And I grew up, like, a lot of my buddies are passed away now from drugs and shit. I hung out with a bad crew when I was younger. And again, I'm very grateful that I never stuck to any of that shit. I don't know how I made it out of that.
I was never into any of those drugs. My sister, very bad. She went through it. We thought we were going to lose her. Thank God she got her act straight. But it was chugging beers and, you know, and keg parties, like, at 20 years old. Like, that was probably what we were going through. Like, just getting by, smoking weed, not thinking about this stuff. I wish at 25 years old, I had this mindset. But you know what? It all happens for a reason.
Yes, sir.
Right? And, you know, it's going to just excel from here. So you can't look back. You can only look forward, and you got to be happy. You know what? Zach doesn't get to have all those memories that I had at 20, chugging beers and going to parties. He's working his butt off. So I look at that as like, you know what? I did all that stuff when I was younger. I love it. Now I'm going to hustle a little bit harder, but I'm going to hustle my butt off and get it done. Where Zach is now going to do that probably later in life.
Right.
Right. So you're doing the what I'm doing now first.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's, and take advantage of it because you're young and right. And do, and have all that energy and put it towards it, because there will come a time where you're just residually recollecting and you could sit back and reflect, and you'll have plenty of time to reflect. Trust me. So,
mm-hmm.
You know,
I still party hard though. I still get down every now and then. Just, I've always put work first.
I don't know if he could hang with my old self. I think he did one time come out and you're like, yeah, I think I'm going to take the train back upstate.
Wait, when I went out to New York with you?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was trying to get me hooked up with somebody that I was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm going home. But I think gratitude is something that I struggle with because I want to be so successful. And I think the big thing that I realized the other day is it's not even so much about the being successful. It's about seeing others have what I don't have yet, and it drives me crazy. And it's the social media, it's the bullshit of like, people put their best image on social media and they make it seem like it's all great and dandy, when in reality their life is probably a lot harder than it shows. But to me,
listen,
that's something that gives me
anxiety. I think that can be a powerful driver, but you need to be careful with that, because if you're constantly comparing yourself to others, especially the fake image that people post on their Instagram, you are never going to be happy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just that one time in 1 year, I went to many different countries. Okay. I could have started a page at any time. Okay. About a travel page. Okay. It's not expensive to travel. And I could have been all over the country just showing videos of my beautiful wife on vacation. Like, look how successful we are. A lot of these people, I look at the top one percenters, these guys, like the Shark Tank dudes, like these are the people I want to resemble. And these are like real people. A lot of the other ones, it's just clout. All right. I look at it and I'm like, oh, that's cool. I might want that car that he's, you know, showing off that he doesn't own, you know? So like,
rental.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff's just clout to me. You know, it's very hard to move up. It really is. You know, just owning properties, dealing with tenants. That's one way I went about it. Right. Not a huge profit margin there, especially in today's age, buying house is very expensive. So like, it's very hard to manage all that. My main job, my construction business. So you know what it takes to be at the top. I mean, unless you just sold a whole lot of Bitcoin, and you're rich all of a sudden. But these people aren't going to stay up there.
Right.
Right. So I resemble those top people. I want to be a lot like those top people. And there's only really one way to get there. And it's to do what they do, the five streams of income and all that stuff. And it's a very, very tough road to get there.
Yeah.
It doesn't take the talk about work. Talk about one job, coming home. Oh, I'm too old. I just want to have a beer and chill. Like, you're managing five different streams of income at one time.
There's a lot of sacrifice involved.
Yeah. And I'm not even there. I'm not even on my fourth stream yet. Really only have three. You know, there's so much more we got to do. Like, it's, and then when you get there, you're like, you get anxiety. You're like, already doing so much. How am I going to manage this other thing? Right. And that anxiety is what stops you from doing it. And then all of a sudden you're like, fuck it. I'll just do it.
And how do you control that anxiety to do it?
For me, it's, I just throw myself in there, right? I just like, you know what? Like, just like buying that house, I was like, how the hell am I going to manage a property? I could hire somebody to do it, but it's my first property.
Nothing to it but to do it.
Yeah.
You just got to throw yourself in and figure your way out.
You know, it's just like going to the gym every single day in the morning.
Yeah.
Right? You just get out there and you do it for discipline. And then you work, you do your whole night, you know, you do your whole day, and then you come home and you do it again the next day. And then the next day after that, you don't go to the gym. And then all of a sudden you got a shit ton of energy because you didn't work out that day. You have more time to focus on other things. It was because you went to the gym every day that you have that extra energy. So the same thing happens when I bought that property. I just did it. And now all of a sudden I'm managing property. It becomes normal,
right?
Habit,
right?
That I'm doing it every day. And then I realized back, I'm like, I could have did this. You know, and then all of a sudden I'm going to do my next stream of income, and that's going to be anxiety at first. And then I'm just going to, you know what, just
do
it.
I think the anxiety only comes from not knowing how. And then once you figure out the know-how, you know, you could do the work. So just, you do it.
Yeah. Not just knowing how, it's just like, I have myasthenia. I got to beat Andrew in sales. I got to be the top sales rep. I got to manage this property. Now I got to drop off permits and do construction quotes and stuff like that. Now I got to write a book. Now I got to do social media, which is starting to blow up a little bit. I could have did that at any time.
Right.
During COVID, I blew up a page, like 5,000 followers in 6 months, a stupid techno meme page. It's Techno Players Club. I dumped it, but it was nothing to do during COVID. So I had something to do, just making videos and doing that. And then like, I never wanted to show my life. That's why it was easier to do a meme page. But now I'm out there.
Right.
And that's, yeah, you know, guys know video. It's crazy editing videos.
We do a little bit of that.
You do a little. Yeah. That's one thing. I'm like, that's a huge, I would say, growth potential.
Why did you start that? Why did you start doing social media?
I just really wanted to get my brand out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's the next step. My wife's doing real estate. We got to get the brand out there. And you have to do it, especially this day and age. And I knew how to do it, but it was one of those things. I'm like, and you know, I barely have time to like just throw the news on and like chill. Why do I now want to be spending that time doing social media? But you just do it.
Got to leverage your time, bro.
Yep.
Plus, you guys have a sick brain. You and your wife are both go-getters.
Yeah, and that's it. You just do it. 30 days social media, 30-day freaking boot camp, right? And then all of a sudden now, it's just something you do.
I like that. Yep. Put that in your book. You need to talk about your Merino
30-day boot camp.
30-day boot camp.
At the end of the day, in short, what is your message to everyone out there?
So, the end of the day, I want every single person in the world to be successful. There is no reason anybody in this world should not be able to be successful. And it takes willpower, number one. It takes knowledge, number two. Discipline, number three. All right, so take what I taught everybody today. If, you know, if you never knew about it, start practicing it every day. And if, you know, a lot of people are listening to this message, this is the number one thing right here that is going to get you started, that startup that you wanted to do. Just number one, controlling your emotions. All right. You don't have to hit rock bottom like we did.
Right.
You could start right now at the top and go a lot higher.
Right.
But if you can't control your brain is going to control you.
That's a bar.
And it does.
Absolutely.
And your brain doesn't always have the best intentions for you. Your soul does, but your brain doesn't.
Yo, there, another way to say that last part is that if you don't control your subconscious, then your conscious is going to control you. Subconscious controls 95% of what we do, and the conscious only controls the 5%. And a lot of that subconscious is those thoughts and emotions that we don't even realize, because that's just where we live our life. I don't know why I said that with an accent. Live our life. And when you can take control of that, it changes everything, because that's really what's running your life.
Yeah, so your heart beats every single day. That's a muscle. It's an involuntary muscle. It just beats. All right, so you have, your heart is probably the most powerful thing, which every single muscle in your body is controlled by your soul, that energy. Your brain can do whatever. It's just wiring, right? Men have different brains than women. So that internet of wiring, okay, you have 100% of control of what you search. You have 100% of control of how you feel and all that stuff. That actually comes from the brain. It doesn't come from the involuntary muscles. So you got to use, okay, your heart, which is your willpower, to control your brain. All right? And that takes really just practice.
Yeah.
So that's what I got for everybody.
Take control, people.
Yo, fucking movie famous.
Guys are looking sharp.
Zach Dingy,
Tony Capuano.
Two Dudes, Three Legs podcast, where we share business tips, interview experts,
and travel the world.
This week on Two Dudes, Three Legs.